Cash fools everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
All right, welcome in Over Under 985. We are a week away from real football season starting. Yeah, not so much the NFL. We know they're a couple of weeks away, but college football starts this week, Dan Lifshatz. I am pumped for college football. This is where I make most of my money.
Yep.
But I'll ask you first and foremost, how do you bet college football?
I think there's a number of ways to approach college football. I think as we've kind of discussed previously, but I think we'll kind of repeat it again. One of the big things about college football is that people slam these heavy favorites. I love betting the lower level games, the FCS, sometimes the FCS games, but like the lower Division I games. I feel like the lines there are just so inept compared to the bigger, larger teams where, you know, you have these really tight lines, like, you know, in USC, UCLA, there'll be a much tighter line for the most time than, you know, Charlotte and Georgia Southern. I like to find my advantages and edges on the lower games. It's just, I'm not a big primetime guy. I just think that just because there's a primetime game doesn't mean you have to bet it. The other thing, Joe, is I really like to find teams that are consistently undervalued in terms of team totals and overs. And I know overs, as we've kind of talked about, are, you know, can be sketchy from time to time, but I love to find a good team that just continuously hits overs. A couple years ago, Western Kentucky just put up like 50 points a game, and Vegas would consistently set their team total at like 32. And every single game, I would hit it, I would take the over, and the game total would just fly over. It's just finding those teams that you can consistently find an edge with. Western Kentucky was my team a couple of years ago, so, I mean, we're gonna see that is this year, Joe. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, and I'm like that when it comes to, the MAC teams. For instance,
big
Ohio. Matching
guy.
You know, Ohio's a team that puts up a ton of points. They tanked at the end of the year. But just to give you a couple of teams, like, Navy always puts up a ton of points. Houston, they put up a ton of points. Duke, you know, at one point was one of the best against the spread teams in all of college football.
Yep.
When it comes to me in sports betting with college football, Dan, there's so many options. Like, think about how many games there are on a Saturday. There's probably, what, 25, 30 games on a Saturday? Not to mention there's sometimes the Thursday night game, which is the national game.
Yep.
Which I always take the home dog, or at least I look for some value when it comes to a home dog in that case. But really, you mentioned that big spreads. I look for those right away. Like, who's the top spread of the week? And if it's, I don't know, Baylor minus 48, or like, let's say Alabama's minus 48 at Chattanooga, I sometimes bet that game just because I feel like Alabama might not get the 48 this week. You know? Yep. And normally, it always comes right around the number when it's all said and done. But the one thing I love about college football is there's these second half bets, you know, stuff that you can do. Like, for instance, if, you know, Florida Atlantic is up 28 and the spread's 34, I'm going to take them the minus 10 second half because I think they're going to cover the spread. That's where I cash in on a lot of, when it comes to college football. And another thing is they all know the spreads. Back in the day, it was about how many points you could, you know, it was all about the BCS system or whatever. Now, these teams, they know the spreads, and when they need to beat it, they do so, and it's good to ride those kind of teams.
So I have a friend, and I'm not going to say names or anything, who played college football. They know every single spread. They know, they're watching games, they're paying real close attention to all this stuff. And I'm telling you, these college games, especially the lower levels, can get kind of dicey in terms of spreads and everything, because these kids all know. They know, like, oh, you know, Florida State, oh, the spread is 5. We got to cover that 5, boys. You know, they're not trying to win by 1. They're trying to cover that spread. They, you know, great team, good teams win, great teams cover, Joe. And trust me, those kids know the spread. And it's important to them to cover. I mean, we were talking about you trying to find value, right? So last year, kind of like Browns, the Sharps would play the Cleveland Browns pretty much every single game because the lines were so high, there was value there. Well, that was Hawaii last year. Hawaii was just that team that, like, couldn't cover a single spread, but every single week, without fail, you knew that you were going to end up getting, like, a Hawaii play from, like, you know, or you knew that the Sharps were going to be on Hawaii every single time, and it was just fade that. So it's finding those spots, I feel, that are just so important to really being a successful bettor. And as you said, you like the home dogs on Thursdays and stuff. I'm just kind of like a, you know, give me the Memphis Charlotte over, you know, give me the smaller, lesser known teams, just because I always know that the spreads just feel like they're a little bit looser and there's a little bit more inconsistency in trying to, you know, find an edge there compared to when it's Alabama Auburn and you just know that spread is right near that number.
Yep. The other thing too is I look at schedules, you know, like some teams just have a tough year. You know, for example, Florida, you know, I look at their schedule this year and I see Charleston Southern, Kentucky, who's on the come, Colorado State, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt. You know, it's Georgia, Missouri. But I feel like they can win 8-9 games this year. I just look at it and I say, I like this. The schedule is something to look at. And a team I really like this year, and they have a good quarterback. And that's also something else when it comes to betting for me. The quarterback. If the quarterback on the other side stinks, take the better quarterback.
Tanner Mangum last year.
Oh, my God, just BYU.
Just straight up fade BYU all year. It was so easy.
But the kid Herbert from Oregon, right? I look at their schedule this year. They struggled last year. They were a team that used to put up a ton of points. Listen to this beginning of this year schedule. Bowling Green, Portland State, San Jose State, the first three games. The first three games of the year.
So they're just going to roll the first three games, and then by that time they'll be clicking. They'll be rolling on all cylinders.
Then they have Stanford, Cal, Washington, which is going to be a big game for them. But then it's Washington State, Arizona, who's on the come, UCLA, Utah, Oregon. But I just look at that at Oregon State to finish the year. That's 9+ wins right there. And, I mean, if you're going to bet win totals, you got to look at the schedule sometimes.
I think we'll definitely get into win totals, Joe, because I think that's probably something that we should definitely look at in terms of future. So we'll definitely get into that. I just think that the best way to bet college football, unless you're watching the game, you're dedicated to the game, and you really want to, and you really think there's a specific edge, I just think that most of the time, the big edges that you can find are just in the lower level games or the teams that just, you know, you find like the mid-major, like Western Kentucky, who just consistently puts up like 60
Memphis
points a game.
Put up a ton of points last year.
Yeah, Memphis
UCF
last year.
UCF came out of nowhere.
Yeah, so you know? UCF constantly hit their team totals. Memphis was one. I'm trying to remember, there was another one a couple years ago that wasn't Western Kentucky, and he just consistently just slammed points. I can't remember. I don't think it was Houston. I think it was like a smaller team. I can't remember. But anyways, the point is that you find those teams, you just ride that. Just continuously ride those crazy high team totals and those team overs. And I'm telling you, it's a real easy way to just continuously build that bankroll, which, you know, we've been kind of stressing to you guys the past couple of weeks. Build that bankroll. Football season's around the corner. This is when you can, you know, you start getting a little bit bigger. You know, you build some of baseball. You had some fun with the World Cup. Now it's football season, baby. Here we go.
And it all starts this week, and we're going to be going over it here on Over Under 985. Follow us on Twitter, at Over Under 985. Make sure to send over your questions. We'll take your questions to the window. Take those to the window at the end of the show here. We'll answer all those for you as well. I'm on Twitter, at Joey Murr. He's Dan Lifshatz, at?
At Dan Lifshatz, DanLifshatz.
So it's week 1. Of college football, and I got to tell you, I always I go a little hard in week one. I know some people say to, hey, take it slow. I already know. Like, I've already been watching these now for a while, Dan.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at, like, some of the big games already this weekend. I think the most bet game in week one will be Michigan at Notre Dame. Think about all the people who will bet on Notre Dame or think Michigan's back with Harbaugh. Brian Kelly, Jim Harbaugh, right there. Boom. You know, that's gonna get eyes on the television.
I think there's a good chance it's going to be that Washington game. That Washington-Auburn. I know it's a 3:30 game. It's not like, you know, the huge, you know, the not the primetime slot. But, man, that is such a good game. I honestly think whoever wins that game has a real good chance to go to win the championship this year. And so to me, I mean, I know I will be planted watching that game on ABC at 3:30 that
day. That's a must win for Washington.
Yo, yeah. I mean, it's a must win for both, I think, at this point.
They're running back Miles Gaskin. He's been around for years now, but he's all, you know, he went off to the NFL. So, you know, I wonder what they're going to do. I know their defense. You know, that's going to be interesting to see what happens to him. But Auburn, obviously, Jarrett Stidham. That's their big quarterback.
Yep.
But I don't know. I just think of Michigan Notre Dame as just a big draw for some people. Other big games just in the ACC, Virginia Tech in Florida State. That's the Monday night game.
That's a big game. We were talking about those team totals before the podcast. Weird, some interesting lines there.
So that's one of them. What else we got? Tennessee and West Virginia.
Louisville versus Alabama.
I think Alabama destroys Louisville. I don't even know what the line is, and I like Alabama.
Yep, I think there's a good one. You know, I mean, there's some decent games week one. I haven't honestly taken a super deep look into what I'm going to, you know, what the lines are and everything, just because I've been kind of focused on my future game right now. But I started to take a closer look today. The Texas-Maryland one, I know it's not massive, but with everything that's surrounding, you know, the Maryland scandals right now, that's going to be a very, you know, watched game as well. Texas Maryland, that's at 12 on Saturday too, so that's not even like a primetime slot or anything. I think that will probably be a big time game. They're not really going up against anyone except for Oregon State and Ohio State either. So, and then that's Sunday night, Joe. Sunday night, which is like what the I think right before the NFL starts, Miami LSU. And then Monday, as we talked about, Virginia Tech, Florida State. Those are going to be two huge games.
Huge games. Both sides, both teams need to win those games early on. Miami get the turnover chain. Can't forget about that. And
I think Miami is going to ruin LSU in that game.
That could be bad for them. But I just look at that Auburn-Washington, Jarrett Stidham, Miles Gaskin. Who's the quarterback there? Is it Browning? Quarterback for Washington as well. I know that he's been in the conversation too of, you know, one of the best players in the country when you look at it. But that first week, just overall, it's definitely going to be a good one. But yeah, Michigan, Notre Dame. Do we have any lines on that, by the way, yet?
I can probably find them.
I just tried pulling them up, and I know some of them are currently off
for Michigan, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find
some. Some of them are off.
So Michigan is a 1.5-point favorite.
Wow.
1.5-point favorite. So money line minus 122. You're laying that 122. I feel like I like
Michigan in that one.
See, this is the type of game that I'm talking about, Joe. I can't personally find it. I don't know anything about what Michigan is going to do this year. There's just that's one of those teams this year I look at and say, man, I don't know how that team is going to roll this year with everything they have. Now they have a quarterback. They're going to be a much better team. Honestly, but at the same time, I think Notre Dame is much improved as well. That's the type of game where I'm just like, you know what? I think I'm just going to relax Saturday night, take my whatever I have, and watch that game.
Notre Dame ranked 11th in the country right now, ahead of Michigan.
Here's another one for you, Joe.
Yeah.
Bama minus 25.5 versus Louisville.
Over. I like Bama. They're going to run Jalen Hurts and Tua. Two quarterbacks that are going to They're both going to throw four touchdowns each, or tried to at least.
And then,
I just lean the over on that. Who is Louisville without Lamar Jackson? That's like the serious question.
I think we're going to find out.
I think we're going to find out right away.
I think we're going to find out. I think they're going to be one of those teams that's heavily bet by the public because they're Louisville and they've had Lamar Jackson, and people don't understand the fact that they're going to be a regressing team this year. I think that that's going to happen with LSU as well. Miami, LSU, the spread is 3.
I can't believe that. Miami minus 3.
I mean, I know it is square as the day is long, but in a neutral field. I mean, it's not at LSU or, you know, it's in Arlington, Texas. Like, I don't know. To me, that's, I mean, again, I know we talked about not betting the big games, or I personally don't bet them, but, like, that is so hard for me to back LSU. I mean, I just don't like the coach. I don't like the roster. I don't like any of the way they tried to play last year. That team screams massive disappointment again.
Yep. I'd probably lean Miami in that game. But, you know, going against an SEC team is 3 points. Some people like that. The one that kind of stands out to me is West Virginia, Tennessee. West Virginia's minus 10. When will Tennessee put it together? Like, when is the year that Tennessee, like, they could win that game on opening weekend and be back. The program is back. Yet there's a great quarterback, or what some people think is a great quarterback, in Will Grier. We'll see. But those are just some of the big games from, just looking at it this weekend. You mentioned the Texas-Maryland game. Like, is Texas getting too much love at plus 13?
13. That's
like, you know.
That's a wild line to me. Again, another one of those high lines. I'm not sure I could play that. Well, they'll probably be like 8 or 9 in the first half, too. Like, that would be maybe a game where I would be like, maybe I'll try and play the first half or something.
How about this one? Ohio State minus 37 right now versus Oregon State.
Yeah, I think Oregon State's going to be terrible this year.
Yeah, one of the worst teams in the country. But is Ohio State going to drop 40 with everything happening with the program?
See, maybe that might be a type of game where I would avoid the spread, not have to worry about that, because of they're going to have maybe some defensive issues because without the coach. I mean, usually the offenses are okay. It's usually not the offenses that suffer without the coach. It's usually the defenses. So that's always a big thing for me. That's the type of game where I'd say, I'd probably take the Ohio State like team total. If I wanted to roll on the side there, I'd probably lay the team total, not have to worry about the defense, just kind of play the offense there. Probably won't touch that game either. You know, I'll probably be looking for something smaller. But, I mean, that's kind of the way. And I'm an Ohio State fan, which is just awful. So, you know, I probably won't play that game. There is a line Saturday that's pretty interesting to me, Joe, and this is, I thought you might be interested in this, okay? First off, well, we have two. Penn State minus 23 versus Appalachian State. Every single year this happens. Appalachian State comes up against these major teams and they cover, and sometimes they win. I mean, against that, you know, Michigan a couple years ago, or it's like 5 or 6 years ago at this point, but it just seems that App State always covers that first week. Always, and they always play these big teams.
Penn State's a heavily favored team this year.
Yeah.
McSorley, one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, but you lose Barkley. I mean, that, you know, you lose a large part of your offense output just there. I don't know. That's, to me, just seems like that's a big line, especially opening week, to try and cover. UMass and Boston College, minus 18.5 over UMass. 18.5, Joe. Interesting. Maybe we'll preview that. Maybe we'll preview that one, Joe.
A little interesting there, but some big games in week one. I'm sure we'll be posting picks out. There's no way I'm staying away from week one of NFL football. College football. There's like no way.
Let me ask you something, Joe. Do you prefer college football to the NFL?
Yeah.
Like, do you prefer Saturdays to Sundays?
100%, yeah. I'll say this, right? We talk about bankrolls and everything like that, and, you know, Monday starts your bankroll, and then there's a Thursday game, and then, you know, Friday sometimes, and then there's a whole slate of games on Saturday and then Sunday. I feel like having a great Saturday really helps me on Sunday. So you've heard people chase when they're down, when they make stupid bets on a Sunday and lose for the week. I like to cash in on Saturdays, go into Sunday with, you know, playing with house money, and making some smart bets, you know? Like, I'm watching the Pats game this week. I'm just going to bet the Pats game. Or, you know, Sunday night football, yeah, let's roll the dice, I'm out for the week. I just feel like your Saturday sets up your Sunday. So, yeah, for the most part, I prefer to bet on college football. It's easier for me. The other thing is I think it's easier to hedge. Like, if some team looks bad early on and the quarterback looks bad early on, they're probably going to play bad all day. I mean, you know, unless they're great players or great quarterbacks, teams don't usually turn it around. If I have a heavy bet on a college team, I will hedge on them in the next half if I think they're not going to play well. I think it's easier to figure that out in college than it is in the NFL.
Yeah, I used to be just, let me sit down on Sundays, let me watch, you know, every single NFL game. You know, I love the NFL. Let me just watch the NFL all week. You know, that would be just preparing for Sundays. And obviously I did my betting on Saturdays, and that was always fun, and, you know, made a good amount of money and brought it in the Sundays. I've kind of started turning the corner where I now have basically become a college football fan more than the NFL fan, just because of the game and the way that everything's happening with the rules and everything. And I think that's going to continue even more. But just, it's so much fun watching a million games and having like 40 bets at the same time. And no, actually, but you know what I mean? Just flipping back and forth and this and that. And it's just so much fun. Just going crazy. The ups and downs of a Saturday are just, man, that's what you have to live for as a bettor, right? I mean, that's what I live. So much fun.
And listen, it gets really fun towards the end of the season when, you know, hey, this team just lost, and here's another team that could move up into the Final Four of one of those New Year's Eve six teams. So yeah, it happens. Everybody scoreboard watches, Dan. There's no doubt. You know, if Stanford loses and USC's playing at night, I would hammer USC because they're going to win that game because they want to wrap up the division. You know what I mean? Like, that's one way to bet. And when upsets happen, how many times did number one or number two fall last year in college football? Right? Wasn't it week in and week out? Somebody would be number one or number two, and then they fell the next week.
Yeah, it was week in, week out, every single week.
That's why it's great. It's unpredictable. And oh, the teams that you think can't lose, they do lose. But that's why I like it. You know, Alabama, some people think they didn't deserve to get into the Final Four last year, or the College Four. You know what? They came back and won that game, a game they probably shouldn't have won because they made a great coaching move in putting a quarterback that could throw against a good defense. It worked. People said they shouldn't have been in it, and they won the damn championship, Dan.
Nope.
So all you got to do is get into the tournament. That's the way I look at it with these teams. And when you're betting on them, you got to look for sometimes like, hey, this team won, let's root against this team, or let's pull for this team because they're trying to win their conference. And I, at the end of the year, it's outstanding and really fun to bet on.
I become such a big college football fan, Joe, and through betting, because, you know, I'm an Ohio State fan. I have been since like 2005, just, you know, a team that I started watching a lot when I was younger and I liked. And, of course, obviously, everything that's going on behind the program right now sucks. But just in general, I mean, it's been fun getting into, like, the college football game. It's not really that big around here just because of the fact that we're in Boston. We don't really have a great college football team. You know, BC a couple of years ago with Matt Ryan. But, I mean, you know, what are we going on, 10 years now? So, I mean, I do think that, you know, it's underplayed here, undervalued. The market doesn't get talked about enough in this market in general. And so just because of that, I was never a huge college football fan. Now I love Saturdays. And now I just think it's the product is better than Sundays.
Can I give you some really big names to watch as far as quarterbacks go?
Absolutely.
We mentioned Trace McSorley of Penn State. Mackenzie Milton of Central Florida. They put up a ton of points last year.
Yep.
Ryan Finley, who I think is the best quarterback entering the draft this year from NC State. So, you know, these big quarterback teams, you want to bet on them because they're going to put up a ton of points. Will Greer is another one we mentioned. Jared Stidham of Auburn was somebody we've talked about a couple of times, along with Justin Herbert. Drew Locke of Missouri.
I was going to say, you haven't mentioned my boy Drew Locke yet.
He's going to be an interesting case. I'm interested in what the Tigers' schedule is. You know, I haven't really looked at that one yet, but that's probably something to look at. He's from Missouri. Khalil Tate, who got a bunch of, what, Heisman Pub last year?
And I can bombed. Play, man. He was the kind of guy that, like, he was fun to watch, but, man, does he make some awful decisions from time to time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not the brightest bulb. And then there's Jake Fromm of Georgia, who, of course, led them to the you know, national championship game. And then Jake Browning, that's the name from Washington.
Yep.
So Browning's loaded. Washington's loaded with Browning and Gaskins. I think if they can win out, man, they're in the four. And just a couple other quarterbacks. Hornibrook from Wisconsin didn't get a lot of love last year. Oklahoma's going to have Kyler Murray taking over for Baker Mayfield. We mentioned Tua, Jalen Hurts from Alabama.
I think Kyler Murray was the kid that was drafted by the Oakland A's, correct?
So I don't know. I don't know. But he's gonna be the starter in Oklahoma. And Jake Bentley of South Carolina. So teams with good quarterbacks, you got to look at least putting some money on them. And then a team that's really come around is Northwestern. Clayton Thorson will be their thrower this year. And those just a couple of names. We'll do some Heisman stuff in a little bit. But, hey, if you're looking to put money on teams, sometimes you got to know who the quarterback is.
Yeah, Kyler Murphy is the kid that was drafted by the Oakland A's as well. He's a phenomenal athlete. I think that he's – I mean, listen, he's going to have a hard time replacing Baker. It's not going to be, you know, the easiest thing to do there, especially since Baker was pretty much a legend down there. There's going to be some early season issues with them. That's just the way it always is, especially when you replace a big-time quarterback in a big-time program. It's usually the way it is. Oklahoma probably will struggle early. As long as Murray continues to play well, I think they'll be fine. As long as they stick with him, I mean.
All right, it's over under 985. Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Of course, you can find us on 985thesportshub.com. We gotta get these views up. We need more people to listen. Tell your friends. Referrals. We're actually going to be giving away picks. How's that sound? Soon enough when football starts this week. Dan, you want to do some win totals? There's 9,000 teams.
Yep.
So it's hard to go through every single one of them. I came up with three that I'm gonna take, and they're all overs. But are there any teams out there this year that you're actually going to lay some money on and see some value in?
Yes. So I already laid money on a couple teams. So the first one I laid money on was Boston College over 6.5. Team totals. Again, we're doing team totals.
Tough schedule this year, though.
So Boston College has an interesting schedule this year, okay? So, listen, they had, what, 7 wins last year, 8 wins last year? They were a good team. They weren't great. They weren't great. You know, they had some good wins. They open up the season versus UMass and Holy Cross, both at home. Again, to me...
Win-win.
First off, you start with 2 wins. Second off, I mean, you're able to get the ground running. That's kind of what I like when I take a look at these team totals, especially when I hit an over. Teams that have early, easy schedules can hit the ground running and kind of, you know, get into that, you know, next few weeks. Then they're at Wake Forest. It's going to be a tough game.
Ooh.
It's a tough game. Wake Forest, again, very good defensive team. You're going to be doing kind of the same thing. Very good defensive team. I think BC probably has a better offense. I think BC probably would be a slight, you know, an underdog, 4 or 5 points in that one. I think BC wins that one, personally. I think BC's going to be better than Wake Forest this year. At Purdue, I think that's going to be a bit of a harder game. I don't love Purdue in terms of a team, but just, again,
going on the road,
set back-to-back going on the road in that spot is going to be a little bit tougher for them. But then they come home and face Temple, and I know that Temple was hyped last year. I think the Temple is going to suck this year in terms of, I think they're probably sitting in probably around that 6.5-7 range. I would probably bet under on Temple. The Temple is going to be on the road. I know it's not a big deal, but Parents Weekend, which is like a big thing at BC. I personally like BC in that one. So, I mean, already that's 4 wins. Then you have at NC State, NC State BC is always a tough game. NC State probably wins that one. Louisville at home.
Win.
They're going to beat Louisville. They're going to beat Louisville. Then home versus Miami.
Yeesh.
That's going to be tough. But again, BC on those big Friday night primetime games, like Florida State was the last one, they play so well defensively. That's going to be a tough game for Miami. It's going to be real tough.
They got to go into Blacksburg.
Yeah, then they have to go in the Blacksburg. That's
a
loss.
And then Clemson.
And then Clemson. But then they have Florida State and Syracuse.
Redemption. Florida State wants redemption.
Right. And so you have Syracuse. So, I mean, you take a look at it like this. You have UMass, Holy Cross, Wake Forest, Temple, Louisville, and Syracuse. That's 6 right there.
I see 6 wins.
See, I think they get one more. I think they're going to end up getting one more. I actually think they'll probably end up getting more than one more. I think they'll probably end up getting 2 more. I think BC is going to be one of those teams that's going to be undervalued all year. I really like BC. I know they have a tough road schedule at Florida State, who might not have anything to play for at that point, which is, they have a very interesting win total at 8, Joe. So that's an interesting.
One of the best running backs in the country in Dillon.
True. At Virginia Tech is going to be tough, but I still think that you see BC pull a big upset, either, you know, with Miami or with Clemson. Yes, they can beat Purdue. I think that's going to be a tougher back-to-back road weeks. I think that's going to be tougher for them. They can beat NC State. I also think that's another, you know, another legitimate chance for them to win there. NC State and BC is usually a good game pretty much every year. And I think they're going to kill. I think they're going to crush Louisville homecoming. They're going to beat them. And then Syracuse Senior Day. They have six guaranteed wins, and they have like four or five spots where there's like borderline a win. And then they have Miami and Clemson home. So you have to really outplay your, you know, your ability. I think they get at least 7, if not 8 or 9. I'm high on BC this year. I think BC is going to quite easily make it there to over 6.5.
All right. Any other teams as far as numbers go?
Yes, so my other over that I really like this year, Boise State. Okay, so Boise State, and there's a couple of different options in terms of win totals. I know that I think that, you know, some sites are offering, I know Five Dimes offering 9.5, 10, 10.5. I personally like the 10, and here's the way I look at it. At Troy, Troy is not a terrible team. They're not good. They're not good, and especially Boise State, I mean, on the road, it kind of stinks, but again, you kind of get that hard, they're that road game out of the way early. You know, they're going to beat Troy. Home versus UConn, they're going to crush UConn, okay? UConn is not good. UConn has to travel to Boise, Idaho. They're going to crush them. At Oklahoma State, a bad team. I think Oklahoma State's going to suck this year. Then you at Wyoming, again, another team that loses another quarterback. Oklahoma State loses Mason Rudolph. Wyoming loses Josh Allen. You know, another team that doesn't have a good quarterback. Then home versus San Diego State. At Nevada, who I think probably will play them tougher than most people think. Home versus Colorado State, who always plays them tough, but they always beat Colorado State. At Air Force, that's when I think they'll probably lose that one. But then it's BYU, Fresno State, at New Mexico, home versus Utah State. And I think they win all of those. I mean, I just think that they might have like 12, 13 wins this year. I think they're legitimately have maybe 1 to 2 losses max. At max, you're looking at 1 to 2 losses there. I really like Boise State over 10 as well.
Wow. That's I might start leaning Boise with the blue turf. I'll just give you a couple without going over the schedule. I like Wake Forest over 6.5 wins. The Clawfence, you know, they put up a ton of points last year.
Yeah.
ACC, I think they're a bowl team. So I get them over 6.5. I like Texas this year, and I'm crazy. I'm crazy. Crazy. 8.5 is their total. I don't know what you see. I started at 8.5, but Boucher, quarterback, it's time for this team to turn it around. They've covered the Red River rivalry every year. Now that Baker Mayfield's out, I think they're the best team.
They have a schedule that should help them do that. You know, if they're heavy favorite versus Maryland at home, or at Maryland, I mean, then they face Tulsa. You should beat Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
Home versus USC.
Now, what USC team do you get? But that's a tough one.
Yep. Right. Again, and then home versus TCU. So back-to-back weeks, you're kind of tough.
But you're at home.
Then you have to go on the road to Kansas State. You know, I think that
you never know with that.
I mean, Kansas State is just one of the most like up and down teams every single year. Oh, then home versus Oklahoma. I see Texas always gets up for that game, that Red River rivalry. I think that
they've covered the last three.
I think they might win that game this year, honestly. Then home versus Baylor at Oklahoma State. We already talked about. I think they're going to suck this year. Then home versus West Virginia. That's going to be tough. But then at Texas Tech versus Iowa State and Kansas. Kansas is an automatic W. You should beat Iowa State.
6.5 wins right there.
Yeah, you should beat Iowa State. They're tough, but you should beat them. And at Texas Tech, I mean, I don't know what to expect from that team this year.
Put up a million points.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, other than scoring.
Give up a million points.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what to expect in terms of what they're actually going to be, what their output is this year.
The one last team total I have is Buffalo and the Mac. All right. Oh, everyone's all over Ohio this year. They got all their guys coming back. There's a player named Tyree Jackson on Buffalo. I have the over 6.5 wins, and I'm actually going to place that bet today. Over 6.5 wins, Buffalo.
Interesting. Okay.
Maction. I love the Mac. The Mac's a great conference, people. It's great to follow that thing every week.
You love Maction. It's fun.
It's easy to follow.
It's fun. It's funny. I don't know people who love. I mean, I know like degenerate gamblers who love Maction just to bet on Maction. But like, I don't know people who like legitimately love the Mac. Let's see.
Bowling Green, Miami, Ohio. Like, it just, I don't know. I just think it's. You know who's good and who's bad every year.
So I mean, okay. So where are your Buffalo wins? They're going to be Delaware State.
Seven wins.
Okay, so they're going to be Delaware State.
Yeah,
I think they're gonna they'll struggle versus Temple. On the road at Temple. Okay. Home versus Eastern Michigan was one of the worst teams in the league last year. They should beat Eastern Michigan. At Rutgers, they'll lose that one. Army home versus Army. Interesting.
Keep going.
At Central Michigan.
Okay,
They should win that one. Home versus Akron.
Win.
That's an interesting game. That's a Saturday. At Toledo.
Win.
Really? You like them at Toledo?
Yeah, I think the quarterback's great, Tyree Jackson.
Okay. Home versus Miami, Ohio. That's a win.
Win.
That's a win. That's a Tuesday game, too. That's some action.
Yeah, a little action.
They follow up again next week with action. Home versus Kent State.
I think they
lose that one.
I got the seven. I got the over seven. Putting it in today.
I think they lose that
over
one.
Over 6.5 wins.
Then the three matching games in a row at Ohio the week afterwards.
That's gonna be the game of the year for them.
And then at Bowling Green, I think they win Bowling Green, but I don't know about Ohio. I think it's gonna be right around that seven. I think that's a pretty good line. So I would agree. I would tend to play that over.
So that's what I have for win totals.
All right, Joe. Here, let me give you two unders. We just went through a whole bunch of overs. Let me give you two unders to play. First off, let's start with Nebraska. Okay, Nebraska. I know Scott Frost. I get the whole lure. I do. I don't think that they're going to be that good. First off. Your first game is what? I think it's Akron. So you'll probably beat Akron. I think it's home versus Akron too. Then you're home versus Colorado, home versus Troy. So you might even start the year 3-0 if you're Nebraska. Here's where it gets tough. On the road at Michigan. Loss. Home versus Purdue. That's going to be a good Purdue team. I don't know. Then at Wisconsin, at Northwestern, home versus Minnesota, at Ohio State, home versus Illinois, home versus Michigan State, which you're going to lose, and then at Iowa. So pretty much you have to hope that you win pretty much every single home game if you're Nebraska, because you're not going to win a game on the road this year. You're just not. Michigan, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Iowa State, Ohio State, and Iowa. You're not going to win a single game on the road. You're going to end up losing one of those games at home, and at that point, you're sitting on six wins, probably five. I think that they're going pretty easy under. I think they might win four or five games this year max.
Wow.
Yeah, I do not like them at all. And then the other one, Joe, the other one that I really like, Arizona State. Arizona State.
Ooh, yeah. Well, under. You play to win the game.
Yes, Mr. Herm Edwards. So again, it's like these teams that consistently have these new coaches that are big names consistently end up sucking. So they're starting the year easy, home versus UTSA. I think they'll probably blow UTSA out of the water. Then they have to go. Then they face Michigan State at home. Scheduled loss right there. At San Diego State, they continuously struggle for San Diego State all the time. That's going to be harder than you think. At Washington. Easy schedule loss. Then home versus Oregon State, you probably have two wins right there, maybe three. But then it's at Colorado, you're not going to be Colorado on the road. Home versus Stanford, at USC, versus Utah, then UCLA, at Oregon, at Arizona. So tell me where you have four wins.
Woof.
Or five wins. I mean, I don't see it. I mean, you might be UTSA, you might be San Diego State, and you might be Oregon State. Then on the road versus Colorado, I mean, just I don't see where you're getting another win the rest of the year. So to me, Arizona State under 4.5. That's the other one I really like.
I like that. I'm going to follow that one this year. I mean, how much do you think Herm Edwards is going to be on ESPN?
And he's considering, you know, I mean, it sounds like he doesn't even want to recruit. from everything we've kind of heard out of that whole thing is like they're not even recruiting well. So it's just it's a weird dynamic that's going on there.
All right, so there's your win totals. I want to get to the 4-team playoffs.
You're listening to The Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
So, Dan, looking at the football playoff, what I'm looking at, I'm already trying to place odds on it already, and I hate to sound like a square man, but if I was going to do it right now, I'd have Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Washington. It seems like such a square play, but I don't know. Do you see another team in the ACC beating Clemson?
Like, yeah,
I mean, the SEC's got Auburn, right? I mean, they could win.
So I don't like doing the whole square thing. You know me. I'm a very I'm a value guy. I like to try and find value in the other teams. I think that have a chance to make it, or have a good kind of run there. I think that this is going to be one of those years where it's going to be square up top, and that's going to be harder for people like me who are trying to find the value there, which sucks. if you're trying to look for value, Alabama's at +210. First off, there's no way I'm taking the +210. I just can't do it, because the way I'm looking at it is, I think that if you have Alabama takes one loss during the year, those odds shoot up. And Bama, again, they always play tough schedules. They always play tough schedules. And I just think that I don't want to play them at 210. If I'm going to play Alabama, I'm probably going to wait until they try and lose one. And then maybe I'll come back on Alabama. That would be kind of the way that I would look at it. I mean, they're going to start the year very easily. But, at the end of the year, at LSU, and then they have to face Auburn at home. Now, the fact is that their schedule – actually, this year, surprisingly, is easier than I thought. Louisville at Arkansas State, at Ole Miss, home versus Texas A&M, home versus Louisiana Lafayette, at Arkansas, home versus Missouri, at Tennessee, at LSU, home versus Mississippi State, home versus the Citadel, and then home versus Auburn. Mm. So maybe that's probably why their odds are so low. I actually don't remember looking at their schedule, which is pretty funny, because I usually look at all the schedules beforehand, but I don't remember looking at theirs. Joe, if I'm honestly, just between me personally, I'm riding Washington +1,500, Auburn +2,800, and I probably come on Miami at +5,000.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then maybe come back with, either Clemson or Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I just can't get behind backing Alabama at such a short price. It's not like, Bama always gets to the college football playoffs, but it's not like they always, they always get to the championship game. Like for the Patriots, they always get to the AFC championship game, always, every single year. So if you get the Patriots at, plus like 600, you can come back and heads the other side twice and still make, still have the, Pats to win the Super Bowl +200. With Bama, there's just no hedging opportunity at +210. The value isn't there. They still have to make the playoffs and win. I'm out on Alabama this year. I know that everyone's going to be on them at +210. I just don't see the value there. At Clemson, I think 475 is a good number. I think that's yeah, okay.
Great quarterback. Division is theirs. They've dominated that. Their defense is still great.
Yep.
I don't know. I think that's the play. And just to give you four backups on mine.
Yeah.
Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Washington. Squares, but I'll tell you, they're the right way to go. I have Wisconsin, who almost snuck in last year.
Very close.
Auburn with Stidham. Well, I'm a big Stidham guy since his what Baylor it is. Georgia, who's got Fromm, and are in it. And then finally, USC, who just, for some reason in that conference out there, even people last year were talking about how they may have deserved it. I just, You never know what kind of USC team you're going to get.
Hanging around that 6,500.
And I just for value, 6,500 looks pretty good to me.
So here's the one thing, Joe. Do you think that you could get a better number during the year?
Oh, yeah.
See,
Wisconsin, yeah.
See, that would be the one thing with USC where I would just be like, I might be able to. That would be the only reason I wouldn't take that number is I might be able to get a better number. Like, if they lose, like, because they have to face Stanford and Texas early. I don't remember the actual schedule off the top of my head. I can pull it up here. But I know they face Stanford and Texas early this year on the road. If they lose one of those games, that 6,500 probably becomes like 10,000.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then
and that team usually tanks it when they have two loss. Yeah, they play Stanford second week and then Texas the third week.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so if they lose one of those two, they're in trouble. That's my main issue.
And then they finish Notre Dame.
But again, that's home. That's probably like their game of the year.
Yeah.
And then I'm just pulling up the schedule now. So Colorado at Arizona. I mean, they have a tougher schedule, but they have some easy games near the end of the year. Arizona State, Oregon State, Cal, who I don't like at all this year, and then at UCLA and then Notre Dame. So they have some easier games to finish the year before UCLA and Notre Dame. I think that there's some value there, Joe, because if they get into that Pac-10 championship, right? And they sorry, Pac-12, no longer Pac-10. Pac-12 championship and they win that game. I mean, that dirt, and they have, you know, one loss, two losses. That's a legitimate team to be in the Final Four, Joe. So I think there's some value there. If I'm going to be on USC, me personally, I'm just going to hold off on them until they face Stanford and Texas. Now, again, if they win both those games, I'm screwed. I'm banking on them losing one of them. That's all.
While you're on it, what's Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Because if they have a good year.
So they're plus 4,500. They're right under Miami. I was thinking, I've looked at them too. But they have a terrible schedule this year, don't they? If I remember correctly, they have one of like the roughest schedules I think that they've had in years. So I know they face USC. They face Michigan. So let's see. They open versus Michigan. Then Ball State, easy. Vanderbilt at Wake Forest. But listen to this. Stanford at Virginia Tech. Pittsburgh should be easy. Navy at Northwestern. Home versus Florida State. Home versus Syracuse at USC. So at USC, home versus Florida State, at Virginia Tech, home versus Stanford,
wow.
Home versus Michigan. Brutal. I can't see them winning all of those.
Wow.
To me, there's just the value is going to be tough for them there. I think that they're a really good team. I just think that they're going to end up having injuries, just getting hurt during the year. But, Joe, I'm telling you, you got to jump on this Miami train with me. You got to jump on this Miami train. If they win week one, oh, man, it's all aboard. Week one is LSU, home versus LSU for Miami, all right? After that is Savannah State at Toledo, FIU, North Carolina. Again, North Carolina wasn't even close to the team they were a couple years ago. Then it gets a little harder. Home versus Florida State, then at Virginia and at BC. So that'll be a little bit tougher. But then they finish up home versus Duke, at Georgia Tech, at Virginia Tech, Pitt. So you have basically Virginia Tech. I think BC is going to be a real tough game for them. Florida State and LSU. So you have those four games and three of them are at home. Sorry, two of them are at home, and one of them is on the road at Boston College. I mean, if you're going to look for something value there with a team that maybe sneaks in with one loss, I think Miami has a legitimate chance to be that team. So that's kind of why I like Miami a little bit over Notre Dame. Plus, they have that plus 5,000. That extra plus 500 to me is real nice value over that Notre Dame team. This, again, Washington, Auburn, whoever wins that game week one, maybe you come back. So maybe I might not take Washington or Auburn because they face week one. Maybe you hold off on whoever wins that week one and then take the future then, because whoever wins that week one game probably has a much better chance of going to the college football playoff. So maybe you do that, which is probably the smarter thing for me to do. I probably will take both because I'm stupid. But you have Washington, Auburn, Miami, and I mean, those are the teams that I really like. And then Clemson, I think you have to take this year, even though it's squares, the day is long, Joe.
Well, might have to start looking at that that Miami pick. I wanted to get into the Heisman as we about to wrap up the show here. I don't have the odds in front of me, but if I was to be a betting man, is Bryce Love the favorite from Stanford running back?
I believe he is. I don't have the actual odds in front of me. I'll see if I can pull them up here.
Because I'll tell you, like, yes, what I have on my list is Kelly Bryant. I think Khalil Tate will be in the mix. I think Jake Fromm will be in the mix.
Yep.
I think McSorley will be in the mix.
So Bryce Love is +700. Tua from Bama is +750. I would not even.
Jalen Hurts even on the list?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, so I wouldn't even touch Tua, to, in my personal opinion.
Too much.
I don't think there's much value there. Okay, I'm looking at Browning +2,500 from Washington.
Yep,
who I like.
Put up a ton of yardage.
Cam Akers +2,900 from Florida State. I think Cam Akers is the best running back in college football. I think he's fantastic.
Better than Bryce Love, huh?
Yes, I think Cam Akers is better than Bryce Love.
Yeah, I like Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin too.
Cam Akers reminds me of. Cam Akers reminds me of Ezekiel Elliott at the next level. Like, he's the type of guy who becomes, like, a superstar at the next NFL, at the NFL level. So I like him. And then I'll probably go with, like, I mean, you remember we were talking about Oregon's schedule to start the year?
Yeah, Herbert.
Justin Herbert +3,100. That's, I mean, those are kind of the guys. And then I personally have a thing for Drew Lock. I don't know why. I love the kid. I love the way he plays. So, yeah, I'm probably going. I'm going to probably take Drew Lock.
You know
too,
who's kind of a random player that I've heard is in the mix is Ed Oliver, that big defensive tackle from Houston.
Yeah, he's +12,500. Yeah.
Interesting.
So I think he's the leading defensive player. That was so that there's actually odds on who gets the most defensive votes for Heisman. I think Ed Oliver might be a good one. Nick Bosa from Ohio State is going to be up there
too.
I
think he's going to be the number one pick.
Bosa?
Coming out of Ohio, yeah.
I think there's going to be so many quarterbacks this year that I think it's going to be hard to take Bosa, but I think Bosa's going to be really good. And then there's that Dexter Lawrence kid from Clemson too. That the other defensive lineman who hasn't been drafted yet, who's just absolutely filthy at that point too.
So who you got?
So I mean, personally, again, I'm gonna go Jake Browning at +2,500. I'll probably go small and Stidham at +27. I'm definitely going Cam Akers at +29 and Justin Herbert at +3,100. I am personally not recommending you to play this, but I'm going to go small on Drew Lock at +4,500 too, just because I love that.
What's J.K. Dobbins?
So Dobbins is +1,950.
I like it.
Yep. So a lot there's and a lot of people love that Trace McSorley. McSorley's interesting at +1,500 too. I kind of thought about that, but I play these very small just because you're gonna get a lot of value. So I play them pretty small. McSorley's an interesting one too. So I've been kind of thinking about adding that and throwing that in there as well.
Let's make sure to save this because when the Heisman comes around. See how far off we were with some of these picks.
Yeah, no, I'm going to record all these. So what I'm going to start doing for you guys is I'm going to start putting an Excel sheet out, and I'll just update it every week. And we'll just put up there, well, me and Joe picked as the futures, the team totals, and then we're going to do weekly picks for you guys. So we'll just do it like that. And that's the way that we'll do this. It'll make it a little bit easier for everyone to do, and we'll do it like that. Simple.
While we're on it, because we're here in Boston, local win totals. You have BC over. I have UMass over 5.5. Don't ask me why. I'm going with the over. For all the people who asked, over. I think UMass is a program that's on the rise. And you know what? I'll take the Harvard over, too. And I don't know what that is because they actually didn't have a bet for it. But I'll take the over in that, too.
I will take the UMass under. Under 5.5 for me.
UConn? I don't know what it is, but I think it should be under.
No, UMass.
No, I'm talking UConn.
So I'm going to UMass. Oh, UConn. Yeah. I can see if we can find that.
That's gotta be bad, right?
it certainly can be good. I'm going under 5.5 for UMass. I think that they're like gonna be a team. Wow. So Connecticut is 3.5.
Dude, they won 4 of their last 6 games last year, UMass.
So UConn is 3.5.
Oh man.
UConn is 3.5. Oof. That's rough.
I'm going under.
Do you know who they start the year against?
No.
Who do you just guess? It's a good team.
I don't know.
UCF. So they start, listen to this. Listen to this.
They'll put 68 points on
home versus UCF at Boise State the first 2 weeks. Then they come home, face Rhode Island. That should be a win. You should be all right. At Syracuse, you're going to lose.
Syracuse got a good quarterback. Man.
They're going to lose to Syracuse. Home versus Cincinnati, they might have a prayer. No. I think they might have a prayer that game. Then it just gets worse. At Memphis, at USF.
Good luck.
So, and then home versus UMass, I think they lose. At Tulsa, I think they might win that game. But then it's SMU. By the way, SMU is that team who put up like 90 points every single year that was with Western Kentucky I couldn't think of. And then at ECU, who was good last year, or decent last year, and then Temple. Like third, if you can find me 3 wins on that schedule, or 4 wins on that schedule, I'd be impressed. Rhode Island, maybe Cincinnati, maybe UMass, maybe Tulsa or SMU. Maybe. Like I can find one guaranteed win. Other than that, I mean, really, I don't think they're gonna get to 4, but maybe they get lucky. I don't see it. They're brutal.
All right. So that's pretty much our preview.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over under 98.5.
What do we got for questions this week? Take it to the window.
All right, Joe. So first off, let me just pull this up here. We have a few questions about team totals this year. All right. So we have first few questions about team totals. All right. So first one. Oh, here we go. Still trying to find it. Apologies.
Well, one of them was Michigan over under 8.5.
Love it.
I saw that one come in this week.
So I'm going to edit this. Okay. First one we have. So we asked the people just to give us their favorite over unders for the year in terms of this. So first one we have is Arizona. So again, you like Tate. I think Tate's going to end up probably regressing more than people want to think. Just because I personally am not a fan of Khalil Tate. I just think he makes terrible decisions. But
I think the team in general makes terrible decisions.
Yeah, they screwed me so many times.
They went 1-4 down the stretch last year.
They screwed me so many times last year. So they have some tough games this year, Joe. Like real tough. And I think they're at 7.5. And I think if you really want to get any value, it's at 8, because like I think 7.5 is at -170. So I think, I mean, you have to go to Houston. So at Houston, home versus USC, home versus Cal, at Utah, at UCLA, home versus Oregon, home versus Colorado, at Washington State. That's pretty brutal to me. I think I'm going under. There's no question about that for me. BYU, you probably win at home. Southern Utah, you're going to win. And at Oregon State, you're going to win. And then at Arizona or home versus Arizona State. So you have 4 guaranteed wins. Then you got to find another 4 against the other teams I just listed: Washington State, Colorado, Oregon, UCLA, Utah, USC, and Houston. I don't know, man. I don't see that. I think that I'm probably going under Utah.
Wow. The other one that I saw was Michigan's total over under 9 wins for Michigan football this year.
So what are your thoughts on that, Joe? Because
I just think the division's so hard. That conference. Like, I'm pulling up the schedule. I know that Notre Dame opening week. Like, Western Michigan, they should take care of. SMU, Nebraska. Like, Northwestern will be tough, but they should win. So, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably say over, but I don't know. Ohio State is definitely – Ohio State, Penn State – Wisconsin and Michigan State and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm an
under. Those are 5 games that they could lose.
I'm an under. At Notre Dame, first game. At Northwestern will be tough for them. Then home versus Wisconsin. And then at Michigan State, home versus Penn State, and at Ohio State. You have to win 3 out of those and still be Western Michigan, SMU, Nebraska, Maryland, Rutgers, and Indiana. So you have to win at least 3 of those.
If they beat Notre Dame and win the games that they should, they're 8-0. So they have to beat Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin.
And they have to win Michigan State.
And Michigan State. They have to win one more of those
and
games.
And Northwestern. On the road.
That's why I was throwing Northwestern as a win, but yeah.
I think Michigan's going to have a tougher time this year than most think. Honestly, I think
Harbaugh is overrated anyways.
That's
college.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a real quarterback this year, Joe. They have a real quarterback.
Transfer, right?
So let's see what they can do. It's the first time that they've had like a real quarterback with Shea Patterson. Like he's the transfer kid who's very good. So to me, that's going to be interesting. All right, we talked about Texas.
Yep.
Kentucky over under.
Ooh, Kentucky's a weird team, man. I don't know much about them this year, but I know last year.
So it's over under 5.5. And sitting at the juice plus, over is plus 115, 5.5.
They had a couple of big wins last year that kind of – I know that's a good question, man. Was it Mark Stoops?
I forget their quarterback last year, but they were a cover machine down the stretch last year. I don't know if you remember that, but they were a cover machine down the stretch last year. I think they had a game versus like Florida too, and they covered it, and that was like one of my biggest wins of the year. I think they're gonna be okay this year. They have that at Florida, which is gonna be tough for them. Then they have the Mississippi State, the South Carolina, the Missouri, the Georgia, at Louisville, at Tennessee. The problem is the road games are tough, and it's their home games are like Murray State's home, Vandy's home, Middle Tennessee State is home, but then they have to face Georgia home. So, I mean, it Central Michigan's home. So, I mean,
their win probability is 4 wins.
Yeah.
So, and it's what, 5.5, you said?
5.5.
Can they beat Louisville?
Yeah, I mean God, Louisville's so bad this year. I really think that Louisville's gonna be one of the just downtrodden teams. At Louisville, the last week of the year.
Can they beat Missouri? At Missouri?
No, you're probably not beating Locke at Missouri. I mean, maybe, but I don't.
Under.
I don't think so. I'm probably going under there too.
And that's a team that people project. I was just reading an article about it. The projection and progression gotten really high since 2015. And
yep. I mean, they were really good last year. We have Boston College again at 6.5. We talked about that. I love Boston College. I'm going over. Florida State at 8 this year, which is really interesting.
So many people are on that, man.
Everyone loves Florida State. I am out on Florida State, as Joe would say. Out. I'm saying they'll probably push that 8. I don't think there's really any value there. I don't think there's a reason to kind of do that. So I'm passing. We talked about both University of Connecticut and UMiami. We already talked about both of them. We talked about Notre Dame. So I mean, we've hit on the big ones, at least. Let's see if we can pull anything out here. Okay, Joe, directed to you apparently. Is there any value in betting overs in preseason football? Week one, they were 9-3. This yes. week, they were 6-9. Is there still value to bet overs in preseason football?
There were the first 2 weeks. This is preseason game number 3 now. Things are going to slow down a bit. It's going to be, a little bit more competition on the ones. There probably still is, but I just think the books are going to be a little bit more up to date considering, some of the value they've left on the table the last couple of weeks.
So this is interesting to me. I think that there's going to be a big slew of unders in the next couple of weeks. So first week of preseason, everyone bets unders. Like one of the only times you bet unders, Christmas Day in the NBA, and a few other times you just routinely bet unders. Well, preseason week one is when you bet unders. So I bet overs week one, obviously. Week two, I actually bet only 2 games. Didn't love anything. I had the Chiefs plus 1, and I had the Giants, and so the both of those actually did well. Luckily, did not think the Chiefs were going to cover, but they did. But basically, I didn't touch the totals because here's the problem with week two preseason. You really don't know who's going to play, and you really don't know for how long. Like, if I had known that Brady was going to play the whole first half, like up until 25 minutes, and then the spread completely went wild, I probably would have played the Patriots first half, but I didn't know that. week three, you know the most, you know for the most part the starters are going to play. Like you just know for the most part. So at that point, I think the value is kind of gone. And in week four, it's just completely wild. So I don't know. Personally, I think that you're probably better off waiting for overs in week one of the NFL. I mean, are they going to adjust to all the penalties and stuff, which we still have to talk about next week? But I think that that's real interesting. Preseason football is going to be interesting this year. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think with the new contact rules, overs could be a little higher early on, right, until the refs kind of figure it out. So, yeah, I would take totals slow a little bit early on. But, yeah, I think this new hit rule is going to make a big impact in the NFL this year. And I wonder if they emphasize it in college a little bit more now. We know there's targeting guys get ejected.
The targeting rule.
I wonder if they stress on that a little bit more because the NFL is stressing on it a little bit more.
It's an interesting concept, Joe. I haven't thought about that. Interesting concept. Okay, Joe, here's another one. Okay, guys, this is from @Brian7178. Okay, guys, how is it that I bet the over in the Yankees game tonight? The final is 7-5. The over was 9. The final is 7-5, and I don't win. Worst rule in sports betting, stupid rain. I changed that last part because I couldn't say it on air. But, yeah, basically what happened was the Yankees game got shortened because of rain, Joe. It only played 7 innings. The over-under was 9. The final score was 7-5, and he lost his bet.
Oh,
what? Yeah. What are your thoughts in regards to, I think we've talked about this before, but what are your thoughts in regards to MLB betting in terms of full game totals?
It's called gambling, people. When you put your bet in, it's for 9 innings. It says it right there. It says it. Listen, I've been burnt on this a million times. I've lost friends over this. Literally. It's gambling. That's what it is. You put the gamble up for it. I've seen it in the College World Series. Happened 2 years ago. Don't know why I bet on the College World Series, but I did. The team was up. They ended up winning the game and covering, and I lost my bet because they didn't do it in enough time. And I was pissed. But you know what? That's why they call it gambling. And I just think it's tough luck. You know, we're all sometimes you just fall on the right wrong side, and sometimes you just gotta pay your debt sometimes.
Okay, Joe. Next question. Joe. Again, another question directed to Joe. Joe, are you in or out on the Red Sox winning the World Series at +375?
Out. I'm out on it, especially with Chris Sale. I'm out. Now, isn't there more value with Houston or Cleveland?
Houston's been terrible down the stretch.
How about the Oakland A's? What's theirs?
Oakland has been awesome.
Okay, so the value, it's not on the Red Sox. I'll tell you that much. And until we know what's going on with Chris Sale, I am out.
You're out? Oh, okay. So you're so I think that so many people are out on the Red Sox this year. I think I might be in. I think I'm going to go in on this. I think I'm going to say the Red Sox win the World Series this year. I think at 375, I'm in. I think I'm in. And again, if you're asking me if there's value there, the answer is no. The answer is no. There's absolutely no value there, and if you're a good, smart bettor, you won't listen to me. However, I do think the Red Sox win the World Series this year. I think the whole Chris Sale arm thing is overblown. I think that they're being as precautious as possibly can be, and I think that if it was any other, you know, year down the stretch, whatever, Chris Sale will be pitching. But I think they're being precautious because they can be. And when you have the ability to do that, you might as well be. All right, Joe, final question.
All right.
Final question. On over under 985 at the window. Question for your next show. What is the best way to find a local bookie?
Go to the local bar or be out and about. Hey, you know anyone who could take my action? Hey, do you know anybody who could take my action? I know a guy, and that's it. Oh, that's what will happen. The other thing I would do is talk to your friends who actually bet. And if you got balls, take their bets and then see if they'll take your bets and kind of go back and forth and then see if it can develop that way. I'm sure it happens in college dorm rooms, right, Dan?
Yep.
Yeah?
I believe it does.
So the best way to make money is to spend money. So I don't know. I would go to your local bar. Hey, who will take my action? And B, if you bet with other people, take their action and see if they'll continue to keep doing it.
Interesting.
And then you can be the book.
No, I'm okay. I don't need to be a bookie. I'm all set. I'm all set on being a bookie. My best suggestion for finding a local bookie, honestly, if you don't have friends who gamble and you don't know of anyone who will take your action as a local bookie, then you need to meet new friends. And the way that I would do that is maybe get in with some people online. Twitter is a good place to find some local bookies or some people who do gambling, local stuff.
I would never talk to somebody online about finding a bookie, though.
Yeah.
See, that's my whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would if I found, like, a burner account, Jess. I mean, like, if you had, as someone so eloquently puts it, that we have a million burner accounts in this studio, I guess.
How do you even make a burner account?
I don't have one. I don't know. I run two accounts. I run mine and the over under 985, and that's enough Twitter action for me. Thank you very much. But I will say that I'm sure you just sign up for a new email. You can make a new Twitter account. I know people who have done that. Mason Souza with the Ryan from Weymouth account.
Oh, really? That's him?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mason. I'd burn him on the podcast. Sorry, Mason. But yeah, no, so Mason did do this. I mean, you can do that. And I know, I guess that would be the way I would do it. Like, there's a section of Twitter that's all about gambling. So, I mean, maybe you could do that. Maybe you could DM RJ Bell.
Yeah.
Well, he or that. Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, fill him up. Up for them.
Please don't do that.
One last thing. I know you know a little bit about it, but the Sports Hub has come to an agreement with SVIN. So they're going to be doing action reports on the Sports Hub, giving whatever the lines are for the local team. So
yeah, so I don't know exactly what's going to be involved with VSIN, but I do know that it's going to be new and exciting. I'm excited to be part of it. So, I mean, do you have any idea what kind of what's going on, Joe?
No, but I know the Musburgers are involved, and they love action.
Yes, they do.
Their action.
So hopefully we'll be able to give you guys some more information about VSIN's partnership with 985 in the next couple weeks.
All right. That's our college football preview. College football starts next weekend. I don't know, Dan. We might have to do a show before Saturday.
Joe, we
just go over all the games again.
Well, I mean, we can. So there's only four games next Saturday. There's only four games next Saturday, okay? Then all of them start on Thursday, August 30th. So it's UMass, Duquesne, Rice and Prairie View, Colorado State and Hawaii.
UMass, baby!
And Wyoming, New Mexico State.
UMass!
Those are the Saturday games. And then there's like a billion Thursday games. So I think we'll probably do a podcast after the Saturday games.
All right. Well, we at least tease this week's... follow our Twitter handle at @OverUnder95. I'm sure we'll post some pics because I'm definitely my. You know what they call it when your left palm is itchy?
What?
It means you're about to make some money.
Oh,
you ever heard that before?
I have indeed.
At the casino, yeah, my left palm's a little itchy there. All right, so for Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been Over Under 985. Follow us on Twitter at @OverUnder985. Send in your questions for next week. Happy gambling season, everybody. We'll talk to you next on Over Under 985.
Who you got?